Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Mem Tes. We begin 15 lines down from the top, Mem Tes, Omid Aleph, with the question that now is being asked by Rabbi Shuvan Levi. Boy, Rabbi Shuvan Levi. Rabbi Shuvan Levi asks the following shaila. Chofan, if the Kohen Gadol did the Chafina, he took his Melol Chofnov and poured it into the Kaf, but then Nebuch, he passed away. Chofan Umeis, he did the Chafina, and then he passed away. Ma'u Shikonis, Acher B'Chafinoso. When the replacement Kohen Gadol, the Skan Kohen Gadol, who was there just for such situations, is going to take over, can he use the Melo Chofna from the first Kohen Gadol that's already in the Kaf, or does he have to redo that entire process? Ma'ushi Kones Acher Bechapi Nosa. The Tosfos Yeshanim and others point out here the same halacha would apply possibly if the Kohen Gadol had become Tomei and another Kohen took over, but the Tosfos Yeshanim points out that it might be different in that situation. It could have said, in Dibra Maslow, Chofan Umeis, Hochanami, have a Motzah Limin Boy, Chofan the Nidba. Why do we give the case of he died? It could have said the same situation that he was Tomei and couldn't do the Avoda. Inami, Kivin Shir Kohen Gadol, Kayam, Yochol Likonis Acher Bavodoso. One might have thought, however, that maybe that's not true, because since the Kohen Gadol is alive, one could argue that that Melo Chofnov is still a valid Melo Chofnov, albeit he can't go in and do it himself. As opposed to, if he's dead, there won't be a Melo Chofnov of anybody in the world because no two people have exactly the same hands. So maybe it's not exactly the same din, and that's why the Gemara gave the case of Chofan Umeis. So what's the answer? So Amar Rabbi Chanina tells us, whoa, look how smart these earlier Rishonim were, and we, Baruch Hashem, was Zoche to ask the same question. In other words, Rabbi Chanina is suggesting that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is an earlier Amora. Yeshua ben Levi is classically called an Amora, albeit I mentioned many times in the very last Mishnah, in all of Shas, in Uktzin, it's really a Braisa, but in the very last Mishnah, at the end of Uktzin, it calls Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi a Tana. They always say the famous word that I was taught, that it's a beautiful idea. If you go through all of Shas in great detail, you'll become a Tana. Even though you're an Amora when you start, you'll become a Tana when you're done. In other words, a person who learns is going to become a changed and a better individual. In any event, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi seems to be an earlier Amora than Rabbi Chanina, from the fact that Rabbi Chanina says, Bo Re'eh, Shelas Rishonim, look at the questions that the early ones asked, and we were Zoche to ask the same question as them. Rashi explains, this is what Rabbi Chanina said to his Talmidim. He said to the Talmidim, Bo Re'eh, Shador Ha'achron, our generation, Zoche L'Hischakim Kidoros Rishonim. We are as wise as the earlier generations. Shafania Yisishol Shelzu, I myself asked this question, and now the Achshav Shol Rishum Levi. I see that Rishum Levi, who's earlier, Shehumin Arishonim. That's the simple understanding of the Gemara's question. But the Gemara questions this and says, Lameimra, that implies to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Koshish. That implies that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was an earlier Amora. He was older than Rabbi Chanina. But that doesn't seem to be true. Because elsewhere we find, of Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi himself said, Li hitir Rabbi Chanina lishtos shachlayim b'shabbos. So, he said, I personally asked Rabbi Chanina, and Rashi understands since he called him Rabbi Chanina as opposed to Chanina, my colleague, called him Rabbi Chanina, it must be that Rabbi Chanina was an earlier Amora than Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi looked up to him. In other words, it's pumfaker, it's flipped around. Rabbi Chanina was the earlier Amora, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is the later Amora. Again, both of them were relatively early, but the bottom line is, based upon this, that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said that I was given permission by Rabbi Chanina, so he calls him Rabbi Chanina, implies that Rabbi Chanina was earlier. Alternatively, the Ritva says, from the fact that he asked the Mishaili, he says, Li hitir Rabbi Chanina lishtos. He said, no, maybe he would have called him Rabbi Chanina even as a colleague, even as a junior colleague. But the fact that he asked him a psak halacha, so therefore, that implies that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was subordinate to Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Chanina was earlier than him. Knew what was the shaila? He asked him, could you drink shachlayim b'shabbos? Shachlayim is a certain type of medicinal drink that's made out of cress. Cress in Rashi always translates shachlayim. And the question was, on Shabbos, are you allowed to drink this? Shmuel says, it doesn't make any sense. Before we get to who's older, who's younger, let's analyze the question first. It doesn't make any sense. Lishtos pshita. Of course you'll have to drink shachlayim, because we learned in a Mishnah in Shabbos, basic din, that if something is considered a normal food or a normal drink, even though you're drinking it or eating it for medicinal purposes, it's allowed. As the Mishnah Beferish states, kola ochlin, any food that's considered a food, ochel adam l'refuah, you're allowed to drink it or eat it for refuah purposes. Kola mashkin, any drink that's normally considered a drink, shosa, you're allowed to drink it for medicinal purposes. So, for example, somebody has a sore throat and he wants to have a tea with honey, so he gives him tea. Since people are drinking teas and honey all the time, so you can have a tea and honey, even though you're doing it for medicinal purposes. If somebody has an upset stomach and he wants to have some crackers, so since people eat crackers, even though you're doing it for medicinal purposes, no problem. So here, if you're drinking shachlayim, which is a normal drink, why would you need a hefty to go drink shachlayim on Shabbos? The Gemara says, you're right, that wasn't the question. The question was, ela lishchol, can you go grind the shachlayim and make it into a drink on Shabbos, lishchol shachlayim b'Shabbos, and drink it on Shabbos? The Gemara says, it's also not much of a question. Hey, chidami, what exactly is the case that we're talking about over here? The Rishon Levi had to ask this question to Rabbi Chanina. If you're talking about idika sakanta, if you're dealing over here that there was pikuach nefashu situation, so what's the shaila? If it's a pikuach nefashu situation, mishra shari, you can grind, you can be machal Shabbos, you can do anything except for the three cardinal sins in order to save somebody's life on Shabbos. So if this shachlayim was really necessary, of course you can grind it up. And no, if it wasn't a sakanta, be the leka sakanta, so meserasa, then of course it's forbidden to go grind it up on Shabbos. So what exactly was the question? Someone says, li'ol lo'am dika sakanta. No, we're dealing over here with a pikuach nefashu situation. So he wasn't asking if it's allowed to grind up the shachlayim if the shachlayim were definitely known to be medicinal. His question was, does shachlayim work for this pikuach nefashu situation? This is what Yeshua ben Levi asked Rabbi Chanina. He asked him, "Mi masya, does it really heal this shachlayim? The nechol alayu shabosa, that I'm allowed to go and desecrate the Shabbos, that I can go and grind it up on Shabbos." In other words, he's asking, is this a proven beduka menusa? Is this a tried and proven therapy on Shabbos that I'm allowed to be mechal Shabbos for it? That was his question. Or alternatively, olo masya, or it doesn't really work, the lo nechal alay b'shabasa, and then, of course, I'm not letting him chal Shabbos for it. He was asking him from a medical point of view, does this stuff work or does this not stuff work? It was a bikuach nefashu situation, and he asked him, if this works, I'm going to grind it up. If it doesn't work, then of course I'm not going to grind it up. Why would I do it? That was the question that he asked him. So Gemara says, why did the Bedavki ask this question to Rabbi Chanina? This doesn't sound like it's a rabbinical shaila. It sounds like it's a doctor shaila. So why didn't he ask a doctor, does this stuff work or not? And he knows if it works, then you'd be allowed to do it yourself. So the answer is Rabbi Chanina was functioning as a rabbi doctor. Rabbi Chanina, mishum debaki berefusu. He was expert in refus, and that's why Rabbi Shulman Levi asked him. The Amr Rabbi Chanina, because Rabbi Chanina has said elsewhere, me'olam, I was been asked a lot of medical shailas, and I never ever was asked the medical shaila, lo sha'ali odom amakas pir d'levana. I never was asked the question regarding a white mule. This was a very strong mule, and if it gave a zetz, that person was never going to be in a lot of trouble, v'choya. So nobody ever asked me a shaila regarding a zetz that they got from a pir d'levana. They got hit from this white mule and lived. So therefore, I never got those types of shailas. What do you do in this situation? What do you do in that situation? Nebuch, all those people died. So what do you see from here? The Rabbi Chanina was used to being asked medical shailas. That's why Rabbi Shimon Levi asked Rabbi Chanina the shaila. No, as an aside to the aside, we do see that sometimes people get azets from a white mule and they do live. So how can Rabbi Chanina say, I never saw anybody live after this? Someone says, no. Eimah b'choyis. Yes, they lived, but the wound that they got from this white mule never fully heals. So that's what he's saying, that I never saw somebody who got azets from this white mule not have some sequelae, not have some long-term consequences or a scar or some sort of a persistent wound because this is a very strong zetz. Where it says, no, but v'hoko chazino demitzi, we do see that they sometimes do heal fully. So again, how can Rabbi Chanina say this? So where it says, no, we're dealing with a very specific type of white mule. Besumkin, it's really red, inhu. The mule is really a red mule. However, v'chivron reish karayu karmina. But we're dealing with the feet of this red mule are white. And that type of a white mule that's really a red mule that has white feet, if that animal gives you a zetz, you're never going to get fully healed from it. And that's what Rabbi Chanina said. No, in any event, we see that Rabbi Chanina was somebody that Rabbi Shimon Levi asked shailas to. So that implies that he's older. And that's what the Gemara now comes back to. You see that Rabbi Chanina was older than Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Rabbi Shimon Levi asked him questions. So how do we understand the original statement that the Gemara said? I'm Rabbi Chanina, borei shailas rishonim. Oh, our questions in the later generation are as good as the questions in the earlier generation. But Rabbi Shimon Levi was the later generation, not the earlier generation. So how do you understand that? He's the older one. So why would he say that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was the older one? So the Gemara says, you're right. Taka, elohochikomer. This is what Rabbi Chanina said to the Talmidim. He said, Sheila son, look how smart this later generation is. Kishay lo shel rishonim. Their questions are as good as our questions. In other words, he was praising Rav Shulam Levi, even though he was a later authority. Nevertheless, his generation, he was so great that they asked the same questions as we, Rabbi Hanina said, we asked in our early generations. So, bottom line is, Rabbi Hanina was very impressed with this question that Rav Shulam Levi, a later authority, had asked. And the question was, if the Kohen Gadol died, can you or can you not use that same chafina, the melo chafta that he poured into the kaf, for the next Kohen Gadol? So Gemara says, really? Umi yomar Rabbi Hanina hachi? Was Rabbi Hanina not sure of the answer to this question? That he says, whoa, what a great question. No, I'm Rabbi Hanina, but Rabbi Hanina bedavka holds that you cannot use the chafina from a previous Kohen Gadol. He says, beferish, when the pasuk tells us that the Kohen Gadol is only allowed to enter in lefnai v'lefnim bepar, he comes in with the par as the chatos, so it means he has to come in with a par. In other words, that Kohen Gadol that is going to go and do the haktores haktores lefnai v'lefnim has to have brought his own par. He dashes the word bepar below bedamush par, but he can't use the dam of another Kohen Gadol's par. So in other words, if the first Kohen Gadol shechted the par and then died, so then the new Kohen Gadol can't use that par's blood that the first Kohen Gadol shechted. It has to go and shecht a new par. Below b'damo shel par. So here, Rabbi Hanina b'feirish said, "Yom Rabbi Hanina." Now the gears really should be de Amar Rabbi Hanina. Both in Rashi and in the Gemara, the Mesoras Hashas and the Bach changed the gears around. It should be de Amar Rabbi Hanina because Rabbi Hanina said that kitores shechafana kodim shlitz the par. If you did the chafina, if you did the melo chafna of the ketores before you shechted your par, it's no good. You must go in the right order. In other words, the par of the Kohen Gadol has to be shechted first, and only afterwards do you do the melo chafna, do you do the chafina of the ketores. And therefore, if you did it out of order, lo also lo klum. So here, since this Kohen Gadol is going to go lefnai v'lefnin, he has to go and bring his own par first. He can't use the dam of the previous Kohen Gadol's par. So, what are you asking over here? The Rabbi Hanina said, this is a great question. Oh, I asked this question myself. He knew the answer. And the answer was that you couldn't use another Kohen Gadol's chafina. You had to do the chafina yourself. So, what exactly is Rabbi Hanina saying over here? Oh, what a great question. I asked this question myself. What says, Hochi Kamar? This is what Rabbi Hanina is saying. Since Rabbi Shulam Levi is, in fact, asking this question, could the second Kohen Gadol, the one who replaced the Kohen Gadol Nebuch died, used the Melo Chofna for the first Kohen Gadol, he obviously disagrees with my drasha of the par below B'dama Shel Par, and that's okay, because others disagree with my drasha as well, as we'll see later in the Gemara today. Miklal B'Kasavar, it must be that Rav Shulam Levi is asking his question based upon the sheet that it says B'par V'afilu B'dama Shel Par, that if the first Kohen Gadol shechted a par and then he Nebuch dies, so then that blood of that par is there, and the next Kohen Gadol doesn't have to go shecht the new par, but can use the blood of the par from the first Kohen Gadol. Oh, according to that opinion, Ulamai the Sphere Lay, if you hold like that, Shelaso Kishelas Harishonim. Oh, so then Rabbi Shulam Levi is asking a very good question, and my colleagues who disagree with me, also the earlier colleagues who disagree with me, the earlier colleagues compared to Rabbi Shulam Levi, my colleagues Rabbi Hanina, who disagree with me, and they hold the drasha bipar, and it means even bidama shopar, oh, they ask this question just like Rabbi Shulam Levi asked the question later on. So the question that Rabbi Shulam Levi is asking was a question that the colleagues of Rabbi Hanina, the earlier generation, had also asked, and that's what Rabbi Hanina was saying. But myself, Rabbi Hanina, says it's not a shaila. I hold you have to go on bipar, below bidama shel par, and therefore the Kohen Gadol has to do his own chafina because he has to do his own shechita as well. No, who's right? Is Rabbi Hanina right, or the colleagues of Rabbi Hanina, including Rabbi Shulam Levi? Who is right? My havilah. How do we paskin? So I'm Rabbi Papa says, "E chofein chozer v'chofein." If you hold, in general, that the mitzvah is that the Kohen Gadol does the chafina with his hands, does the melo chafnov, puts it into the kaf, but then when he goes inside the Beis Hamikdash, lefnai v'lefnim, he has to go and pour it back into his hands. He can't just pour from the kaf onto the coals, but he has to pour it back into his hands. That's called chozer v'chofein. So then, chaveiro nichnas b'chafin also. So then Rav Papa says, then it's perfectly acceptable for another Kohen to use the first Kohen Gadol's chafina. The first Kohen Gadol Nebuch was Meisei after the chafina, but it's in the kaf already, so another Kohen Gadol can go and do it, because he's going to do his own chafina, lifnai v'lifnim. Because chaveiro nichnas b'chafin also, he could go inside the lifnai v'lifnim with a kaf filled melol chofnov of the first Kohen Gadol, da mikaimo chafina, because he's going to do a new chafina inside, and therefore he'll have done his own chafina. That's if you hold chofer, chofein, chozer v'chofein. However, ein chofein v'chozer v'chofein. If you say no, you have to do melol chofnov one time. Once you do it, you pour it into the kaf, and then when you lifnai v'lifnim, you take it out of the kaf and pour it directly on the coals. You don't have to pour it back into your hands. So then, according to that, tibayloch, there you have a shaila. Does the second Kohen Gadol allow to use the first Kohen Gadol's chafina? Because, after all, that was a good chafina, so it should be good. Or do we say, no, you didn't do a chafina, and therefore, it's not your, the second Kohen Gadol's melo chofnov, and it's no good. Oh, so the shaila is only if you hold ein chofein v'chozer v'chofein. That's according to Rav Papa. However, Amalei Rav Huna, Bered Rav Yeshua and Rav Papa. Rav Huna, who's the son of Rav Yeshua, disagrees with Rav Papa, and he says to Rav Papa, no, Adarabba, the exact opposite of your shita. You're saying that if you hold chofein v'choz v'chofein, it's definitely good. And only if you hold ein chofein v'choz v'chofein, do you have the question. I say, pum faker, the exact opposite, Adarabba. No, if you hold e chofein v'chozer v'chofein, if you have to repeat the chafina inside the Kodesh Kodashim, so then, so then the second Kohen Gadol absolutely cannot use the first Kohen Gadol's Melo Chofnov that was put into the Ka, and must redo the entire process with his own first Melo Chofnov, and then Chozer V'Chofein, after he puts it into the Ka, and he'll go inside Lufnai V'Lavim, he has to redo it. Why is that? Because no two people have the same exact hand size. Even if it's close, it's not going to be exact. And this measurement of Melo Chofnov has to be exact for that Kohen Gadol. As we said, if you're a big Kohen Gadol, it's a certain size. If you're a small Kohen Gadol, it's a small size. But it's particular to each Kohen Gadol. So the first Kohen Gadol, who Nebuch passed away, so that was his Melo Chofnov. If you're going to have to do, the second Kohen Gadol is going to pour that into his hands, it's impossible that it won't be a little bit more or a little bit less. And therefore, you can't do it. And therefore, Rav Huna Breder Yeshua says to Rav Papa, you're wrong. If you hold Chofein v'chozer v'chofein, then Adarabba, absolutely, would he have to restart the whole process over again, and the new Kohen Gadol would have to do the Melo Chofnov from the start, take his own Melo Chofnov, put it into the Kaf, and then bring the Kaf inside the Lifnai v'lifnim, and repeat the Melo Chofnov, pouring it back from the Kaf into his hands inside the Lifnai v'lifnim. Because again, it's impossible that they would be the exact same size. However, Rav Huna Breder Yeshua says to Rav Papa, but I disagree with you. If it's the situation, if you paskin the ein chofein chozer v'chofein, but if we say no, the Kohen Gadol just has to do melo chofnov once. He does melo chofnov, he pours it into the kaf, then he takes the kaf inside of the knife with him, and from the kaf itself, he pours it directly onto the coals. So if you hold ein chofein chozer v'chofein, he doesn't have to re-pour it back into his hands, then you got the shalat tibayloch. So you could argue that this was the first Kohen Gadol's melo chofnov, and it's still good. Or you could argue, no, maybe you need to do the second Kohen Gadol's melo chofnov, and there is no melo chofnov by the second Kohen Gadol. So that's where you have the question. That we see that this machlokas between Rav Papa and Rav Huna, Breder Rav Yeshua, is the following shalat they ask in the base medrash. They ask in the base medrash, what is the halacha? Do you have to do the chafina the first time, chofein, and then you pour it into the kaf, and then you go lufnai v'lufnim, and then chozer v'chofein, and from the kaf you pour it into the hands of the Kohen Gadol a second time? Or no. It's enough that once you did the melo chofnov the first time and you have it in the kaf, you can pour it directly from the kaf onto the coals, lifnai v'lufnim. That question is the machlokas between Rav Papa and Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua. So what's the answer? Gemara is going to give us two sources to try to reconcile the answer. The first one won't be an answer, it'll be from our Mishnah, but then it will give us the second answer from a Braisa. So we start off Toshma. Our Mishnah said, Kachoy Samidoso. Our Mishnah specifically used the language, and we had this actually previously 2 days ago, and this is just reiterating that. Our Mishnah said, Kachoy Samidoso. This was the standard measure that the Kohen Gadol's Melo Chofnov was. So what does that mean? My lap, doesn't it mean kishem shemidosa mibachutz, kach midosa mibifnim? Doesn't it mean that just like Kohen Gadol did the Melo Chofnov on the outside, before he went lifnai v'lifnim, so too he has to go and redo it. Kachoy midosu, he has to go put it back melo chofnov lifnai v'lifnim. So therefore, asked and answered, chofein chozer v'chofein. And the Gemara gave us this answer 2 days ago, and now it gives it to us again. No, maybe not. Lo, you can't bring me a right from our Mishnah. Maybe our Mishnah is saying, lo, dilma shimrotz lasos midosu. It means that the Kohen Gadol can make an amount that is melo chofnov, it's 3 ounces, and he can go make a container that has exactly melo chofnov in it and use that. So maybe that's what it means, kachoy midosu. Or alternatively, inami, shloichas lo yosir. Or it's telling us that, no, he has to be very careful not to spill any and not to pour it fully into his hands. But it doesn't mean that he has to necessarily do another chafina, lifnai v'lifnim. So from our Mishnah, kachoy sa midosu, you have no raya. But now the Gemara gives us a braisa that will definitely give us a raya. Toshma, the braisa states, and we turn to Mentes Omud Beis, the braisa specifically states, Keitzad hu oseh, how is the Kohen Gadol supposed to do the chafina lifnai v'lifnim? So he comes in there with the kaf, and he comes in there with the machta of gecholim. He's holding the machta of the gecholim, the coals in his right hand, and he's holding the kaf in his left hand, and he has to put the coals down. He does that, and now he has to go and pour from the kaf into both of his hands. In other words, he needs to pour from something into both of his hands. How is he supposed to do that? He takes the ladle, this bozoch, this kaf, in both of his hands, Barosh Yetzbosov, he tilts it so that it's in the tips of his fingers, the Yesh Omer Bishinov, and some say that he can use his teeth as well, so he grasps the handle of this bozoch, of this kaf, using his hands and his teeth, Umala Bagoglo, and he constantly moves the cup a little bit, and you can see pictures of this in the Masifta as well, on the first Daf Memtes Omud Beis. They have some nice diagrams there for those that like to see the pictures of this. I'll try to explain it as best as I can without the pictures. So he's male begudlo. He uses his thumb to tilt this container because his thumb is not involved in the lo chofnav, so he can use the thumbs on both his right and left hand to help him tilt this bazoch so it tilts and turns over and pours the contents of the bazoch into the rest of his melo chofnav. Umale begudlo, ashimagas levein atzila yodav, and he uses the handle in his elbows, underneath his arms, so to say, in his armpits or in his elbow area, to help turn the bazoch as well, and the chozer umachziru l'sol chofnav. And in this way, he turns the contents of this bazoch, of this kaf, into the melo chofnav. So he's using his body, his teeth, and his thumbs to overturn this bazoch into his hands. Now, what do you clearly see? He has to be chozer and chofein. So, therefore, this will be the raya. This braisa clearly proves that he is chofein, chozer the chofein. But no, let's continue the braisa. The braisa tells us, how does he actually now, he has the ketores, he has the incense in his melochof, not in his hands. So what does he do? So there's two opinions. The first one is vitzobra. He piles it up all in one place. So therefore, kidei shiye ashana shohel lavo. So it will slowly go and burn. It will slowly go and allow the smoke of the burning incense of the ketores to rise, and therefore it will take a longer time. That's the first opinion, that you pile it up. Second opinion says, no, you spread it out. You spread it out over the coals. So this way, the heat of the coals is simultaneously going on the entire ketores, not just on the bottom part, but you spread it out. And this way, the smoke goes up very, very quickly. So these are the two possibilities, either the tzobra or mifazra. And then the braisa concludes and says, "Vizui avoda kosher shiva mikdush." This is the most difficult activity in the mikdush. Again, as we just explained it, he has to go and somehow take a cup that he's holding in one hand, somehow grasp it in both his hands, and pour it into both of his hands at the same time. So yes, this was a physically difficult activity. The most difficult activity in the mikdash. And again, we had this the other day. The Gemara says, really? Zuhi v'su lo. This is the only one that's classified as the most difficult activity in the mikdash. What about the other two that we mentioned the other day? Poyikum malika, the Kohen Gadol, especially according to the opinion that says he has to hold the bird in his right hand and simultaneously using his right thumbnail, pierce the back neck of the bird all with his right hand. That was a physically difficult activity also. And that was described as Zuhi avodah kosher v'mikdash. And likewise, it says the kmitza, the Kohen Gadol had to break the hard type of mincha that was made in a frying pan or in a pot, and it was hard, it wasn't flour, had to break it with his thumb and had to break it with his pinky. So that was also described as Zuhi Avoda Kosher Shebe Mikdash. So how can you tell me that only the Chafina inside Lefnai V'Lefnim is the hardest activity in the Mikdash? So Gemara says, yeah, they're all hard. That's what it means. It's amongst the hardest activities in the Mesa Mikdash. El Zuhi Avoda Kosher, Me Avodos Kosher Shebe Mikdash. This is one of the most difficult Avodos that you have in the Beis HaMikdash. There are others as well. The Chafina inside the Lefnai V'Lefnim, the Malika, and the Kemitza are all three very difficult Avodos to do inside the Beis HaMikdash. No, the bottom line is, now to finish the Braisa, Shema Aminah, you clearly see, as I pointed out from before, from the beginning part of this Braisa, clearly, Chofen, he does the Chafina outside, pours it into the kaf, into this bazach, and then when he goes Lefnai V'Lefnim, Chozim V'Chofen, he has to do it again. Shema Aminah, this is a good raya. That is, in fact, the Psak Din. Now, the Gemara continues and says, before we had the machlokes between Rabbi Chanina and his colleagues in his generation, which also paralleled that opinion of the colleagues of Rabbi Chanina, who argued with Rabbi Chanina, that also paralleled Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi's opinion. And now the Gemara asks that question, Yiboylu, Shachat V'Meis, if the Kohen Gadol shechted his par of the Kohen Gadol for Yom Kippur, and Nebuch, the Kohen Gadol died. So what do you do with that blood of that par? So Mahu Shi'i Kaneis Acher B'Domo. Can the Skan Kohen Gadol who replaces the Kohen Gadol Nebuch died, can he go and use that blood? It was a perfectly good Shechita, a perfectly good Kabbalah. Can he use that blood instead of going and shechting a new animal, a new par, for himself? That was the question. Mahu Shi'i Kaneis Acher B'Domo. Can the vice Kohen Gadol who took over from him use the already shechted par that the first Kohen Gadol has shechted? Mi Amrina, do we say B'Par, when it says that he can only enter into Lefnai V'Lefnim with the par, does it mean Bafilu B'Domo Shel Par, that we classify the par not being as a live animal, but even including the Shechita of the par with the Kabbalah Saddam? And all he really needs at this point is the Kabbalah Saddam. So therefore, he has that, and therefore, the second Kohen Gadol, who's taking over for the first Kohen Gadol of Nebuch that died, can go in there with the par, the blood from the Kohen Gadol who shechted the first par, the second Kohen Gadol can go in with that dot. Or do we say, no, this was the opinion, the first opinion that we just said was the opinion of Rabbi Chanina's colleagues and Rabbi Shulman Levi. Or do we say, like Rabbi Chanina, Ol Dilma, when the pasuk says, Bepar, Bezo Shavar, no Kohen, Ela Kodesh, Bepar, he has to go in there with a par, so it means Bepar, with the actual shefting of the par himself, the Lo B'Domo Shel Par, but he can't go and use somebody else's par. So this machlok is between Rabbi Chanina and his colleagues, and included in those colleagues was the later authority, Rabbi Shulman Levi. That was they asked in the Beis Medrash. So Rabbi Chanina Omer Bepar V'Lo B'Domo Shel Par. And Reish Lakish, here we have Reish Lakish was the colleague of Rabbi Chanina, and this would also be the opinion of Yeshua Levi. Reish Lakish Omer, no, Bepar V'Filo B'Domo Shel Par. And this Machlokes between Rabbi Chanina and Reish Lakish and Yeshua Levi is similarly also seen amongst later Amorayim. Rabbi Ami Omer Bepar V'Lo B'Domo Shel Par. Rabbi Ami held like Rabbi Chanina. And Rabbi Yitzchak Navcha Omer Bepar V'Filo B'Domo Shel Par. Rabbi Yitzchak Navcha, he held like the opinion of Reish Lakish and Rabbi Shulman Levi, that you can go in even there with the blood of the first Kohen Gadol's par and not necessarily having shechted your own par. Now, our Gemara only said over here technically Rabbi Yitzchak, but we'll see in the next line in the Gemara, and the Masoras HaShas changes this around over here and says that this was Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. But in any event, we'll see this in a second. Eisvei, the Gemara now questions, Rav Ami asks Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. We see that Rav Ami asks Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, so obviously, a moment ago, when we said Rabbi Yitzchak, it really was Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. So Rav Ami asks Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, he says, Nimnin u'moshkin yedeyem mimenu achi yishochei. Now he's bringing a riot to his opinion that, you see, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha says that a par is called even a shechted animal, afilu b'domo shel par, because from a halacha in Pesach, Rav Ami says, I am correct and you are wrong. Nimnin u'moshkin yedeyem mimenu achi yishochei. That when people are going to register for a Korban Pesach, they can go on, they can go off, they go back on, they go back off. They're allowed to go and change their slots to be part of a Korban Pesach up until the point that the Korban Pesach is shechted. Moshrin yedeyen mimenu ad sheyishochet. They can be counted nimnin, or they can remove themselves from the Korban Pesach up until the point of the shechita. Now, the in Isa, Rav Ami asks Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, if you are correct, and you're saying that it means bepar, v'afilu b'domo shel par by Yom Kippur, so then, why are you saying that you can only be nimnin u'moshkin yedeyem mimenu for the Korban Pesach ad sheyishochet? It's still called aseh, even after it's shechted. So according to you, Im Isa, if you're right, Achi Yizrok Miboile, you should be allowed to go and be Nimnin, Umoshkin Yedeim Mimenu. You can add yourself onto or take yourself off of Korban Pesach up until the time of the Zrika, because by Yom Kippur, you're saying it means par, afilu b'domashel par, it's still called the par, even when you've shefted it and you just have the dam, so too by the Korban Pesach. Even after you shefted the Korban Pesach, as long as you haven't done the Zrika the dam, you should be allowed to be Nimnin Umoshkin. But that's not true. So Rav Ami says to Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, you're wrong, and I'm right. So Yitzchak Nafcha says not so fast. Now, like here, so we have this shiny hosom, and the Bach just changes it around and says shiny hosom. No, by the Korban Pesach it's different because you have a specific pasuk that tells us dechsev miyos miseh. It means that you're allowed to only be nimnin or moshkin while it's still a seh. Michiyusei deseh miyos miseh means while it's still alive. So that goes against the normal rule that it would be par afilu domashel par. It should have been that you'd be allowed to go and be nimnin umoshin up until the time of the Zrika. Except that the pasuk says miyos miseh means that while the seh is alive. Another question of Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, Masiv Rav Zutra. Rav Zutra asks Rav Yitzchak Nafcha the following shaila as well. The pasuk tells us in regards to the pigeon peter chamor beseh that you have to go and redeem a chamor, a firstborn donkey, with a seh. Now, it says in the Mishnah in Bechoros, Ein Podin, you're not allowed to go and redeem this peter chamor, lo be'ego, you're not allowed to use a cow, a baby calf. It must be bedafka beseh, the pasuk says. Lo b'chaya, you're not allowed to use a chaya, a deer, or an ibex, or a giraffe, or any one of the kosher chayas. But lo b'shkuta, and here's the critical factor, and you can't use a shechted seh, or a goat or a sheep. You can't use a shechted one. Now, here will be the question. If you're telling me bepar, which means even bedomushal par, so why can't you use the shechted sheep? It's still called the sheep. So therefore, the seh, either the goat or the sheep, should be allowed to be done b'shchuta, but it says b'feirish in the Mishnah b'choros v'lo b'shchuta. That'll be the kasha that Mazutra was asking on Rav Yitzchak Nafcha. But let's finish off the Mishnah. It says, lo b'treifa, you're not allowed to use a treifa animal as well, a treifa seh. Lo b'kilayim, and you're not allowed to use a mixed breed, a cross breed between, let's say, a goat and a deer, or a sheep and an ibex. So you can't use a kilayim, and likewise, you can't use lo b'koi. Some pronounce it kvi, but the more proper way to pronounce it is koi. And you can't use this animal that we're not sure what its status is. It's a separate animal. We're not sure if it's a chaya or it's a behema. In many places we have this discussion, but you can't use that. One might have thought that this could qualify as petach amor tefter b'seh. You might have thought that the koi is a seh, so it's not. Ela b'seh. The Mishnah Mechoris tells us you must use bedavka, a live seh. A seh means a goat or a sheep. Now, this is a kasha on Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, because as I pointed out, it says lo b'shchuta, but if you hold par and even domashel par, so then why can't you use a shchuta seh? So what it says again, shiny hosom, because we learn out there, it says petech amor tefter b'seh, and we make a gzeir shava from seh from b'chor to the seh from the korban pesach, the olive seh semi pesach. And just like by pesach, we said miyos, miseh means michiyusi, the seh must be the seh is alive, so to by b'choros, the seh must be alive. Nuri Gemara says, "E malahalan." If you're learning it out b'chor from Korban Pesach, so then the Korban Pesach is a very specific type of seh. It must be a zohar tom uben shana. It must be an unblemished male seh, a goat or a sheep, and it has to be within the first year of its life. So then, if that's true, so you must do a that the petach amor b'seh should be avkan b'zohar that's tom uben shana. But that's not true. So where it says no, because we have another pasuk to tell us that you don't follow the gzeir shava all the way through. Talmud Lomar tifdeh, because the pasuk tells us tifdeh b'seh, and it says tifdeh tifdeh riba. It says you shall redeem it twice, and the second time it says tifdeh tifdeh, as the pasuk says, v'chol petach amor tifdeh b'seh, v'imlos tifdeh v'arato v'chol b'chor adom v'vanecha tifdeh. So it repeats the word tifdeh. To come to teach us that it doesn't have to be exactly like the Korban Pesach, it doesn't have to be a Zohar Tom Ben Shana. Shmuel says, okay, well, once you have this Reboy, e tifteh, tifteh, Reba, if you're telling me that there's a Reboy here to come and include a lot of things besides the Zohar Tom Ben Shana Korban Pesach Seh, so then, afilu kulunami, so then you should allow to be using Ego, Achaya, Shchuta, Trefa, Kilai, Makoi, so why can't you be Marbe everything? So where it says, Im Kain Seh my Haila. The pasuk does say, so Beseh limits it to just a Seh, and not an Egel, a Chaya, etc. But it says tifteh, so that means it doesn't have to be exactly like the Korban Pesach. It doesn't have to be a Zohar Ton Ben Shana. Now we turn to Daf Nun Amud Aleph, and now we'll turn the tables. Instead of asking on Rav Yitzchak Navcha, we're going to go and ask on Rav Ami, and all those that hold like Rav Ami, like for example Rabbi Chanina, that say par, but lo b'damashal par. So A say Rav Yitzchak Navcha Rav Ami. Now the tables are turned, and Rav Yitzchak Navcha asks to Rav Ami. The pasuk says, Votzi es kol apar. Now, here we're talking about if the Kohen Gadol, who's a Talmud Chacham, makes a mistake, so instead of bringing a normal chatos, he has to bring a special par shel Kohen Gadol. And this par shel Kohen Gadol, it says, after he does the shechita and he does the appropriate zrika, v'hotzi es kol ha-par. He removes the rest of the animal and burns it, michutz la-machaneh. He burns it, v'hotzi es kol ha-par, michutz la-machaneh, amakom tohar, al-shev ha-kadeshin. So he has to go and shecht it inside the Azar, of course, bring the blood, lefnai, he brings it into the Heichal and does the applications towards the parochas as on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, but then none of the animal is actually sacrificed, but Pahotzi is called a par, he brings it out, El Michutz L'Machaneh. So you see that the dead animal is called a par, so Kash on you, Rav Ami, Rabbi Chanina, that say that par v'lo domo shel par. So the Gemara answers, no, there's a teretz Rashi tells us, Shiyotzi's kula. Rav Ami says, it doesn't mean that it's called a par. It means you have to take it out. How else are you supposed to say? You take out the rest of the animal, and you take it and burn it, Michutz L'Machaneh. No, Rav Yitzchak Navcha is not happy, and he says, it also says, Veis parachatos, veisirachatos. If you have a par helim dovashel tzibor, when the entire tzibor follows Sanhedrin, and does something incorrectly, so instead of each of them bringing an individual chatos, they all bring a communal par helim dovashel tzibor. And likewise, if Rachmon Litzlan, they follow the Sanhedrin and they worship the Avodah Zarah incorrectly, but they all follow what the Sanhedrin said. So then they bring a sire equivalent to the par helim dovashel chatos, shel tzibor. So they bring a sire for this chatos, for the sin of the tzibor following the Sanhedrin and doing Avodah Zarah. So it says over there, you bring the para chatos, veisahira chatos, also to burn them outside, and this is after they've been shechted. Same kasha, Rav Yitzchak Navcha asks on Rav Ami over here too. So on Rav Papa answers to Rav Ami, and he says, no, everybody agrees, but or when there's still the hide there, or bus, or there's meat there, or perish, or the intestinal schmutz is still there, everybody agrees, the kulyama lo pligi, that that's called a par. That's what it's talking about. That's the animal itself. As Rashi says, hechel de mishtoi krua beguf ha-par, when you're dealing with the body of the animal itself, either the hide, the meat, or the perish, so it's all together. So kulyama lo pligi, the mikri par. Everybody, even Rav Ami, says that that's called a par. Ki pligi, where does Rav Ami disagree with Rav Yitzchak Navcha? Where does Rav Chanina disagree with his colleagues in Rav Shuvan Levi? That's only when you're dealing with the dam, the dam. That mar, meaning Rav Yitzchak Navcha and the Reish Lakish, the ones that argue with Rav Chanina, Rav Shuvan Levi, they hold that par means mar sobar dam ikri par, that even the dam of the par is called par. Well, mar sobar, the Rav Ami and Rav Chanina, they hold dam lo ikri par, that the dam itself can't be called par. And therefore, when it says you have to go inside with the par, it means par below dam. So this is the machlokis between these Amoraim. Finally, Amar Ravashi. Ravashi says, "Mistabra, it makes the most sense. Kiman diomer dam ikre par. It makes sense to hold like Rav Yitzchak Navcha, like Reish Lakish, like Rav Shuvan Levi, and all those that argue with Rabbi Chanina, because the pasuk says, 'Dichsiv bizos yogo Aaron elakodesh bepar ben bakar.' It says Aaron Akoyin goes inside the holy of holies, inside the kodesh kedoshim, with the blood of the par ben bakar, and it calls it par." So Atu Bekarni Mayalei, does he lead it in with its horns? No, he shafted it already. So he's just bringing the dam, El Bidamo. And you clearly see the Korile Par. So it makes sense, Ravashi says, the Rav Yitzchak Navcha, Reish Lakish, Rav Shuvan Levi are all correct. And that Rav Ami and Rabbi Chanina are wrong. So when it says, what would they say? The Yidach, Rav Ami and Rabbi Chanina, they would hold, they understand this when it says Bizol Shavo Aaron al Kodesh, the Par ben Bakar means he has to have shechted a Par ben Bakar. That gives him the rights. As Rashi says over here, Mayase Kideshi Rashoi Likones. What does he do in order to be eligible to do the Avodah on Yom Kippur Lifnai V'Lifnim? Yavi Par Chai Li Azorah. He has to go and bring a live par into the Azorah, And then he has to do everything, including shechting it, taking the blood, and then doing all the avodos with the blood. That's what it means. Aaron el kodesh bepar ben bakel lechatas. That gives him the right to do this, but lav davka, that we're calling the dam par. Par, it says you have to come in with a par below the domo shel par. And therefore, another Kohen Gadol would not be allowed to use the first Kohen Gadol's dam. If Rachman al-San, the first Kohen Gadol died, second Kohen Gadol has to go, according to Rav Ami and Rabbi Chanina, shecht a new par. This was a good, complicated shiur, but with this we conclude today's shiur. Mitzvah Shem will pick this up here tomorrow.